Subhanallah. So we were mentioning Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. To recap, he was in charge of the fire in his area. He went on an errand for his father. He passed a church. He found them worship Allah in a much better way than the fire worshippers. When he returned, his father, realizing what he had done, got upset, locked him up, incarcerated him. He got the message to the community of Christians. As to the source of their religion, they mentioned to him Sham, the lands of Isa alayhi salam. He escaped from incarceration. He traveled to the lands of Isa alayhi salam, accompanied the scholar, the bishop at the time, and he found him to be an evil person. And when he died and they were to bury him, he mentioned this to them, but he didn't give up. The teacher thereafter was a good man, very dedicated, very Allah conscious, constant in worship. When he was to die, he said, "Who do you advise me to go to, sir? And what do you advise me to do after you?" He said, "Oh, my son, I don't know anyone who has remained on the truth. But you have to go to another area called Mosul." Now, this is one of the ancient areas near the Tigris River in Iraq. That's a man who remains on the truth, the true following of the Anbiya and the teachings of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. I journeyed there. I mentioned to him his friend. He allowed me to remain in his company. I found him to be an admirable man. I spent years in his company. And when he was to die, I then came to him saying, "Sir, you know my plight. Where do you advise me to go?" He also said, "Those after me, you have all distorted the truth. What do you advise me to do, sir?" He said, "Oh, my son, there's no one here on the truth." So we can see it's a dying creed. He then advised me to go to another area called Nasibin. This is between Mosul and Sham, a 6-day journey from Mosul. I traveled those 6 days. I went there after they buried him. I found him to be a good man like his colleagues, the other teachers of mine. I then spent years in his company, and on his deathbed I asked him, "Sir, what do you advise me to do?" He said, "Oh, my son, there's no one here to take over after me except those who have changed and distorted the truth. What do I do, sir? I'm prepared to go anywhere." He then sent me to Amuriya. There's interesting history about Amuriya, how the Abbasids took Islam into that region. Anyway, it was a staunch Christian stronghold. There's a man who has not distorted the truth. I went to him. And while I was there, I earned a lot. And as I spent years in his company, whilst I had earned also, on his deathbed, I asked him, "Sir, what do I do, teacher?" He said to me, "There's no one here who has remained on truth." So I said, "What now do I do? Where should I go?" He said, "The time has now come in the world, awalla zaman, where a man would arrive, would hail from the lands of Arabia, Nabiyun, a great messenger of Allah, who would be sent with the teachings of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and from the land where Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba. He would then migrate from his land, his birth land, birthplace, to a land with date palm trees, surrounded by rocky terrain due to volcanic eruption." And that's the description of Medina Munawwara. Medina Munawwara is Dhatu Nakhlin, a land of date palm trees surrounded by two mountains, Harra. Medina Munawwara had two Harras, Harratul Waqim and Harratul Wabra. And these are mountains that were melted due to ancient volcanic eruptions that caused these mountains to be very slippery, black rock. And these are the descriptions of Medina Munawwara. This was a natural mechanism. This was a natural fortification of Medina Munawwara. That's why the Sahaba during the trench, the battle of the trench, didn't need to dig during those at those areas because it was naturally fortified. And then my teacher told me, "You'll find that he'll partake when you gift him. And you'll find when you give charity, he will give others but not partake." And another sign of his is between his shoulder blade, you will find the seal of prophethood. Go to these lands, my beloved student. When my teacher passed on, I stayed for a little while in Amuriya. And when a caravan was passing from the Arabs of the Kalb clan, I said to them, would you all take me to these lands? And I described it to them. They said, what would you pay us? I said, I'll give you everything. I was prepared to give them my entire flock, the cattle I owned and my flock. They said, okay. They took all my possessions and agreed to take me to the lands I described to them, known at that time as Yathrib. But en route, they were treacherous. They got to Wadi al-Qura, a land also with date palm trees, but it wasn't Medina Munawwara. It wasn't Yathrib. We don't refer to Medina Munawwara today as Yathrib, but historically at this time it was still referred to as Yathrib. They betrayed me, and they sold me as a slave to a Jew. And now, from a free man, I now was a slave. It was a sad time for me. But Allah opens the way. I served this master of mine, and after some time, a cousin of his visited him. He hailed from the Banu Qurayza clan, that was a Jewish tribe residing in Medina Munawwara, but he was visiting his relative in Wadi al-Qura. He purchased me, and he took me with him to Yathrib. And there I found the trees as it was described by my teacher, Nakhl, the date palm tree. This is a very special tree in Islam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is suitable to the month of Ramadan, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْرِمُوا عَمَّتَكُمُ النَّخْلَةِ. Honor your aunt, the date palm tree. Why aunt? Amma is the paternal aunt, paternal. Meaning your father's sister is Amma in the Arabic language. In this hadith, the date palm tree is referred to as Amma. Then the hadith expresses why. Because this date palm tree was created by Allah from the same soil Hazrat Adam was created from. That's why there's so many similarities between the date palm tree and the human being. Unlike any other tree, every tree breathes in, inhales carbon dioxide most of the time and exhales oxygen. That's why it's very healthy to walk a brisk walk near trees. Very good for the lungs to inhale deeply and breathe out. Inhale from the nose and exhale from the mouth and breathe in deeply. It's the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But interestingly, the date palm tree inhales oxygen like the human being. Every other tree, you prune it, you cut it, it'll still grow. You cut it on the top, on the sides, the branches, it'll still grow. But the date palm tree, if you cut it on top, there is something very nutritional on top, referred to in Arabic as jumar. And it is so nutritional. But if you cut it, the tree will cease to grow. Very similar to the human being. If you cut off his limbs, his arms, his feet, he'll still continue living. But sever his head, he will die instantaneously. Another interesting simile is the liquid inside the date palm tree has the scent similar to that of semen. And interestingly, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, tell me about a tree whose parable is like that of the mu'min, the believer. So Sahaba listened. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, who narrates this hadith radiallahu anhum, thereafter mentions to his father, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh my father, I knew the answer. But out of respect, the presence of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, I remain silent. Hazrat Umar said, I wish you did give the answer. Because afterwards, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing no one had the answer, he did explain to Sahaba, I refer to the date palm tree. But interestingly, Hazrat Umar says, I would have been so proud if you knew the answer. Why is the date palm tree like the mu'min? One is the believer, is firmly embedded with iman, like the date palm tree is firmly rooted. It doesn't take an effect from the impurities surrounding it at times. Another beautiful reason, the date palm tree gives fruit in all seasons, different types of fruit, but constancy. Like the mu'min, he is always constant in a'mal. The date palm tree grows high in the sky. وَالنَّخْلَ بَاسِقَاتٍ لَهَا طَلْعٌ نَضِيدٌ. In the same way, the mu'min, he's tall as far as a'mal is concerned. His a'mal are constantly going higher and higher. And the believer does deeds in all seasons, not only seasonal in one season, but always pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other quality, similar in the mu'min and the date palm tree, is akhlaq. You throw stones, it gives you back the sweetest of dates. Now interestingly is the date. Unqud is the cluster. Now in the cluster grows the dates. The date has stages. Tala' as it just starts to grow. Ighrid, zahu, balah, busr, rutab, and then tamr. Some of them, like busr, refers to a date, sweet, ripening date. Balah, half ripe, half unripe. Rutab is when it is fresh, the fresh date, really tasty. It's tastier than toffee. And tamr is the dry date. Now, interesting is the date seed. Allah, in the Quran al-Kareem, mentions to us, and do this analysis and show our children, especially at the time of iftar or when sitting with the family in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين تدعون من دونه ما يملكون من قطمير. And those who you turn to besides Allah, they don't even possess qitmir. إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُونَ بِشِرْكِكُمْ وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. Subhanallah. I would love you to look into the translation of this verse. Allah says, whoever you turn to besides Allah, whoever you turn to besides Allah, they don't even own qitmir. What is qitmir? Now eat the date. What do you see? The date seed. When looking at the seed, you'll see a dot. That dot is like a slight branding. A little dot. Slightly hollow, sometimes not even hollow, but you can see the spot. That refers to naqir. Naqir. Allah says, you would not receive injustice even to that extent. وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. Another part of the date put mentioned in the Quran is the fatil, that's the wick. There's a hollow section where you scratch it a bit and you can pull out something, a slight light cord. That is fatil, that's also in the Quran. And then you ate the date, the kajur, you have the date put in your hand, you scratch the pit. The pit refers to hasatun, nawatu tamr, hasatu tamr. The hadith of counting Allah's names, man ahsaha dakhal al-jannah, to precisely count the names of Allah and make dhikr of Allah, counting it precisely. La nuhsi thana'an alayk, la uhsi thana'an alayk, O Allah. I can never ever fully fathom and encapsulate your praise. Ya Allah, I can never praise you how you deserve to be praised. O my Allah, you are as you have praised yourself. Ya Allah, لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Now you're looking at the date pit, scratch it. You will see a slight, very, very faint, colorless, weightless membrane. That slight, faint membrane that has no weight and no color and no taste, that is qitmir. Our Allah says, whoever you turn to besides Allah does not even own qitmir. Allah says, you can turn to makhluk, they can't even hear you, meaning without the permission of Allah. And if they hear you with Allah's permission, They can never respond to you and grant your wish and solve your problem without the permission of Allah. وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ. And when we ascribe partners unto Allah, idolatry and any form of shirk, thinking that it happens from any other creation but Allah, and not realizing that everything is in Allah's hands, that yes, if someone helps us, we appreciate them, but Allah made them help us. Remember who is actually in control. As we learn, the temperament of Sahaba radiallahu anhum was, إِن تُعْطِي فَإِنَّ الْمُعْطِي هُوَ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ مَشْكُورِ وَإِن تَمْنَعْ فَإِنَّ الْمَانِعْ هُوَ اللَّهِ وَأَنْتَ مَعْذُورِ. If you give me, the actual giver is Allah, but I appreciate you. If you refuse to give me and you want to deprive me, it's actually from Allah. Allah doesn't want to give me, and you are excused. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That small membrane is qitmir. Makhluq doesn't even have qitmir. Anyway, I'm now in Medina Munawwara, and I'm under the service of my master, who worked me very, very hard there. And one day, I'm busy on top of a tree. And remember, Hazrat Salman is a very old man by this time. Yes, Allah made him remain young for a very long time. You could never imagine his age. Allah prolonged his life and kept him youthful and young and strong and vibrant. He's on top of the date palm tree doing his work and chores, and his master was beneath the tree when a relative of his came and said, "Damn the Banu Qayla! By Allah, they are gathered now in Quba claiming that the man who just arrived is their prophet." As soon as I heard his statement, I was shocked. I started shivering like one who's afflicted with a severe fever. I shuddered and shook and almost fell, almost banging into my master. I then rushed to the man who addressed him thus, and I said to him, "Sir, please repeat those words, because I'm imagining, is this the moment I've been waiting for?" My master angrily comes to me, clouts me, smites me, and then says to me, "What is the matter with you? You get back to your own work. You got so many chores to do, and you worried about this." Anyway, I waited for my free time and my little income or my share of my food, my dates. I take it and I go to where the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was residing. I entered and I said to him, greeting him, of course, and I said, "You're a righteous man with needy companions, and here's some charity that I felt you are really in need of, and I watched closely." He gave his companions to partake, but he did not. And I thought to myself, this is a sign. I then left. When I had another opportunity, we had some more dates. I then came and said to him, "Sir, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I notice you did not partake of the charity, but there's a gift I wanted to honor you with." He received it warmly. He partook and shared with his companions. So I said to myself, here's another sign. I then joined him as he was burying one of his companions in Baqiyya, and I found him sit with his shawl. I sat behind him, staring at his back, hopeful to see the seal of prophethood, as my teacher in Ammuriya described to me. When he saw me stare at his back, he realized my intentions. He removed his upper garment, his kurta, and I looked at the seal of prophethood. I recognized the sign. I fell to his feet, kissing him and crying. He picked me up and said to me, "What is it, O Salman? What is it, O Salman?" This was the first time he was named Salman, radiyallahu an. Prior to this, he was known as Madha bin Budikhshan. Now Salman is liberated, but what happens thereafter? He's a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears his entire story, his karguzari, and bids the Sahaba to do the same. They were really amazed at the incident of the man who searched for truth for so many, many years. May Allah bless him and the entire ummah of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, especially the galaxy of the Sahaba, kiram, radiyallahu anhum. But Salman was a slave. What happens now? How does he get out of slavery? Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not to leave his companion in his plight, slogging behind a Jewish master. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam had encouraged Salman, "Ask your master to make you a mukatab." Allah give us tawfiq to continue with the discussion. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ